Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Then let go of whatever no longer serves you to take action now on Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, loving it up, and letting it go. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. With Erica's E3 approach, equipping, empowering, and enlightening yourself so you can be yourself for yourself. Get ready and get rooted to live a life without regrets, without what ifs, without should haves, and especially without empty feelings from a life unexplored. This hit show helps you build powerful and intentional roots to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Get fearlessly ready and powerfully rooted in your yes with your host, Erica Gifford Mills, and be fearless about your more and stand in your yes now on Get Rooted Radio.
Welcome, everyone. I am Erica Gifford Mills, and you are listening to Get Rooted Radio, living it up, loving it up, letting it go, right here on Transformation Talk Radio. A big shout out, as always, to my producer today, Jacob. Hey, Jacob, how you doing?
Hey, Erica, it's great to see you doing so well today.
Good. And how's everything going? I'd like to say summer, but it's not officially summer. But for me, once it hits June, it's summer.
We're slowly attempting to get into the summer vibe right now, and I'm not feeling it yet, but I'll keep you posted on that in a couple weeks, hopefully.
So I've got a question for you, since our show today is on leadership. What does being a leader mean to you?
That's a great question, and one that I think I kind of come back to the answer a lot of times when you ask me questions in this sort of realm. And the word that comes to mind for me is accountability and ownership. So you know, leaders take responsibility for not just their own work, but also the work of the people that they're leading. And it could be work or relationships or whatever it is, you know, the fact that you're able to, you know, be a voice for them, be a kind of a spokesperson for them, and also be communicative with everyone, and then take responsibility for whatever happens, whether it's good or bad.
Absolutely. And I love that, because I think that is a big part, and society plays a big part in that. And being a leader, or leadership, right, as the term is, means different things to different people. And we as individuals owe it to ourselves to invest in our own self-development. And that's not only personally, it's also professionally, you know, in our own leadership journeys. And by not doing so, we are hurting our society as a whole. And the future of our society depends on individuals investing in their self-awareness and leadership. And that is what my guest today, Drew Biharilal, business and executive leadership coach, and I will be discussing the impact of leadership on society. But a little bit about Drew before we begin. Drew is an ICF certified business and leadership coach and the founder of Nyan Leadership. A former prosecutor and IT consultant, Drew's approach to coaching is centered around identity, combining positive psychological and somatic psychology, diversity and equity, and traditional coaching. This approach cuts across all contexts of coaching and incorporates the unique intersections of demographics that make up our identity, as well as how that identity impacts our leadership, our organizations, our relationships, and overall fulfillment with our lives. An aspiring Renaissance man, so watch out, ladies, serial entrepreneur himself, Drew has a passion for small business and the entrepreneurial mindset. And when he's not working with clients, he loves to dabble in the creative arts with photography, graphic design, and music, and travel and explore the boundless, terrifying freedom the world has to offer with his faithful canine companion, Hachi. Please welcome Drew to the show.
Thanks so much, Erica. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And a fellow dog lover. So, you know, you might be in for a great surprise here, listeners. You might hear the dogs on both of our ends going going crazy today. But I really appreciate you being on the show. But before we get into today's topic, the impact leadership has on society, tell listeners how you made that transition to coaching. I think that's kind of really interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was, I was a prosecutor originally, and then I switched to IT consulting, actually. And honestly, that transition was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be for me, because I really took to self-development. I've always been passionate about self-development, about, you know, psychology and kind of how to grow myself and how to build others up. And I've always liked the mentoring piece of things. So like, even when I was younger, I like to mentor the younger students. And in law school, I helped to help the younger students to get acclimated to law school, because it's a big adjustment from anything else to law school. Making that shift was always a challenge, and for me, and so I wanted to be there a resource for someone else. So that was something I took into my career as well, right? So when I was a prosecutor, I tried to get involved in a lot of the child advocacy trainings and stuff like that to help other prosecutors and other law students interested in that work. And then when I transitioned to IT consulting, I did a lot of work on myself to be a manager and to understand how to actually lead people properly. And then I helped my team to grow themselves up and figure out where they wanted to go. And one of the questions I asked them was like, where do you want to be in a couple of years? You know, where do you want to go? What's your trajectory look like? And oddly enough, no one had ever asked them that question. So it was something that we immediately started having that rapport. And I delved into that really deeply in terms of how I could really be a resource for them and help them along their career, not just helping our clients, but helping them to grow themselves as well. So that just naturally transitioned into coaching. And I did some career coaching, some of that kind of work, coaching them. But then I developed a passion for that and jumped into leadership coaching.
And I think it just goes to show that folks, even if you don't know what you want to be when you grow up, or you think you do, it grows, right? As you grow, as you change, and it can evolve into something where both of your passions combine. And I think that's awesome.
Absolutely.
So back to the topic at hand, I love that transition that you made. A lot of my clients say, well, but I went to school for this and I can't change now. And it's just proof that, you know, you're very successful in what you do. It proves that you can make that shift, right? But really, let's begin our discussion with how not to be a leader. And I know that might sound weird, right? But we all have different aspects of our personalities that make us a great leader. But let's discuss, what are some of the most common obstructions to good leadership?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times people don't trust their staff or the people that they're managing. There's a lack of trust in themselves, frankly, which is something that they don't actually uncover until they delve deeper into it. There's an unwillingness to be self-aware because they're afraid of what they find. And a lot of what you're hearing is going to, they'll be blaming other people, they'll be blaming, you know, systems, they'll be blaming everything else, society, they blame their parents, they blame other managers, they blame their staff, but they never turn the finger toward themselves, right? Because they're afraid of what they find. At the core of that is insecurity and fear. Right. And it's a fear of being self-aware because of, again, they're afraid of what they're going to find. And that kind of fear, there's no room for that in leadership. And that's a really strong block. Unfortunately, our society is built around that a lot of times where it's like, you know, we encourage these folks to take in leadership positions, not because of their qualities as a leader, but because of their qualities in other areas or just the fact that they happen to be friends with people who are in other leadership positions. And so we don't think about the impact across the organization or the impact of the teams or the impact to anything like that. They think about the impact of themselves. And that selfishness and lack of self-awareness, they go hand in hand. And they almost like help to grow that fear and help to grow that insecurity and that doubt. And ultimately you have a cycle, right? Because now that people are seeing that and they're seeing that this guy can do it or this girl can do it. You know, why can't I do that? No matter what my skill set is. And so then they keep working and then they end up, either they do make it to a leadership position and try to be better, or they do it and they don't care because there's no need to care and invest in themselves. And it becomes a cycle either way. And what happens in those teams is the good people end up leaving because it becomes toxic leadership or lack of leadership, really, and toxic management. And the people who stick around are people who either can't get jobs elsewhere or are just content to do nothing and you know, be mediocre. And that ends up killing that team and ultimately that organization.
And I think that's important. It's that the phrase that goes around, people don't leave companies, they leave management. And it's so true. I mean, there's been plenty of places that I've left, not because I didn't love the company and the company values, but it also goes to who and what are we promoting? And are they taking some of those values seriously? But I think it's also on us as workers, right, as staff members to also report those issues and don't be afraid to go to your senior leader above this person or HR or whoever it might be to say there's a real problem because people don't know what they don't know. And sometimes they don't want to look at why good workers continue to leave under a management. You know, I don't know, sometimes there's blinders on or what that might be. But I think that's such a great point. But how do we avoid making these mistakes? Right, and how not to be a leader. How do we avoid getting past those?
Yeah, it's a good question. And actually, you brought up something that actually kind of relates to that a little bit, which is the HR consideration. And going to HR is a good thing to do when there's an issue, But understand also that HR's point of view, they're not, contrary to popular belief, HR is not on your side. They're on the company side. So the whole thing is they're trying to protect the company against potential issues. If you frame it as you have an issue with this person, they're gonna frame it as you have an issue with this person. But if you frame it as this person is a liability for the company, now they becomes an HR consultant consideration and they're listening, right? Now they're gonna start listening to you. But that's one great concept to think about is consider that the audience you're talking to, right? With that particular leader, if you're working under a toxic leader or someone who's very insecure, very selfish, unfortunately, depending on your point of view, they're actually pretty easy to manipulate too, right? Because if you appeal to that fear and kind of let them know that there are situations where they could benefit from being better about X or about Y, and kind of appeal to that a little bit, that might be a way for you to kind of manage up. You know, whether that's a good or bad thing. I hate the word manipulate, but words aren't evil the way people use them are evil, right? So the word manipulate is not necessarily a bad word. It's just something you can use to your own advantage. The other thing is just invest in your own development, your own self-awareness, you know, absent everything else. That will empower you to be able to have those conversations and honestly go after jobs that you actually really want with leaders who are not as insecure and will benefit you.
And I love that because it is how you phrase it. And I use this saying quite a bit, words matter, right? How you say something and knowing your audience is so important. And I love that you made that clarification. And it's important that we know what we need, what we want, right? That self-awareness is so important, because if we don't know our triggers, if we don't know our weaknesses and our strengths, we can't promote those, or we can't develop maybe our weaknesses a little bit better. But let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about societal structures limiting leadership development. But before we go, Drew, tell folks how they can reach you.
Sure. Yeah. So my website is www.nyanleadership.com. And you can reach me at DHRU. So Drew, DHRU at nyanleadership.com. I'm also on social media pretty much everywhere at DHRUBEE, except Instagram, because they're weird and I have to do DHRUVABEE. So happy to talk with anyone, anywhere.
Wonderful. You are listening to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Everyday living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Hi, I'm Amber, your weekly host of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us and our global community of over 1 million strong on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. For more information, visit www.suivera.org. We look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show, Why Wait?
look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out with me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Welcome back to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, loving it up, letting it go. If you missed any portion of today's episode, you can catch it on GetRootedRadio.com. That's GetRootedRadio.com. Don't forget to subscribe online to receive the latest news, events, specials, and words of encouragement. Go to GetRootedRadio.com. Welcome back to my guest, Drew B. Harilal. During last segment, we were talking about how not to be a leader. Now let's get into the limitations, specifically societal structures limiting leadership development. So Drew, what are the societal structures that limit and where do these behaviors come from?
Yeah, so we're taught at a very young age, I want to say almost as like preschool level in our society, to really not be leaders, right? We're taught to be followers. We're taught to conform and to do what you're told. And I don't think that's necessarily bad in all situations, right? I think there's very few things that are universally bad, like I said. That's one of the situations where it has to be tempered more than it is right now, though. Unfortunately, you're taught to blindly obey authority in the sense of like, your teacher tells you to do something, you do it regardless. Your parents tell you to do something, you do it regardless. You don't ask questions, you don't do anything like that. I'm about the mindset of asking questions, clarifying questions, right? Kids, they ask why, because they want to understand, right? If you actually help them understand what's going on or why you're telling them to do something, they understand the bigger picture and they're taught to understand the bigger picture over time. Now, fast forward 17, 18 years, and you have kids who are now going to college or going to the workforce at that age, possibly, and they have no idea who they are, what they are, what they want in life. They've never been encouraged to explore that about themselves. They've been in such a strict environment of like, focus on what we're told telling you to focus on, which is honestly really crappy rubric. You're focusing on, and it's not the teacher's fault because the teachers are handicapped by standardized tests. And these standardized tests are what you study for. What's the number one question kids ask and students ask and people ask, is this going to be on the exam? Well, if it's not going to be on the exam, I'm not going to study it, right? Because we're taught that way. Leadership's not on the exam, right? Not officially anyway, but unfortunately it does come back to bite us in the butt if we don't invest in it. And self-awareness is at the core of that. So if you don't invest in self-awareness, you don't even know where you want to be. And now you're making decisions about the rest of your life at the age of 18, 19 years old, 17 sometimes. And you're trying to determine what career you want. Well, you have no experience in any kind of career. Your only experience is in academia, which is so far from real life, it's not even funny. And now what? And then let's say you go through the college experiences, so you pick a major, you focus on what you want to focus on. You don't know how to get a job. You don't know how to interview. You don't know how to actually live a real life, but you're thrown into this world where you have to do that. And then let's say you do a really good job. This is all luck, by the way, up to this point, right? And let's say you do a really good job at that job. Well, you're typically brought on as an individual contributor, right? People call them ICs. Now, if you do a really good job, you get promoted to management. Well, now you're really in this position where you're set up to fail because you have no idea how to manage other people. That's pretty much the end of the story for some people.
No, right? And I'm giggling over here because I taught my son to always ask questions, which, you know, sometimes came back to bite me in the butt. But I also had to always start out every school year with his teacher saying, please understand, my son will ask you a lot of questions. He will ask you why. Well, why is it this way? Why do we do this? He's not trying to be confrontational. He just wants to understand why. And I always set the groundwork for that because inevitably I get somebody sending me a message saying, you know, he keeps questioning me. I said, well, is he questioning you being rude and disrespectful, or is he questioning you trying to understand the process? I said, because to me, there's a major difference. And, you know, it's going back and telling him, how are you asking that? I don't mind that you're asking that question, but how are you asking it? Because what is your tone like? Are you being, interrupting? What are you doing? And so it's funny, it's because that is, it's from the very beginning, you know, and I always laugh because how do we expect our kids graduating at 17, 18, maybe 19 years old to know what they want to do when last week they were raising their hands to get permission to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, it's interesting. And yet this last weekend, I went back to do a scholarship award. We do one every year in the memory of my parents. And I hadn't been inside the school I went to high school, because usually we're outside for sporting events or whatever. But I was inside these halls that I had not been in like 30 years. And I'm like, they had us walking down single file, you know, in our order of, you know, the teachers were like, get in order of how you're presenting. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm a child again. You're lining us up and we're walking down the aisle, single file, told to be quiet. I'm like, I'm having flashbacks. And it is, it's just, you got sucked back into the follow the leader.
Yep.
But yet there was no leader, because nobody was really, somebody was just walking like, where do I go? What am I doing? And it is, I think that is a societal restraint that we have on it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to question authority. It's, you know, how you do it is a different matter, but saying that you shouldn't is always, I know, to me was always wrong.
Exactly. But, and that's, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, so yeah, and that goes back to the insecurity thing, right? The questioning, yes. Why it's not so much that even if you ask in the right way, sometimes that some of the adults and the folks, you know, in authority are threatened by that question, because they don't know why themselves. So right. they're like, well, why are you asking me why? Stop asking me questions. Because I don't, and they don't want to say it because they're insecure. They don't want to tell you that they don't know why themselves. They're just doing what they're told, or yep. doing what's always been done. Right. And right. They never asked why. And then they might be embarrassed that they never asked why, because they're just obeying orders blindly. And yep. that just puts them on the spot. But that's, again, self-awareness and then that whole leadership concept, right?
Absolutely. So right now we're seeing the great resignation as it's been coined. What impact would you say leadership has had on the great resignation?
I think it's had probably the biggest impact that you could have on any kind of societal phenomenon, honestly. I think it's understated. People are thinking it's about salary, or it's about, you know, work-life balance. But at the core of all that stuff, it's not about salary. There are people who, if resignation was only about salary, no one would ever do a McDonald's job, or no one would ever work as a teacher for that matter, right? Because they make such crappy money. Or a prosecutor for that matter, because they make crap money too. It's not about salary. Maybe salary may be a small piece of it, but studies have shown that salary is actually a very small motivator for people. If you just keep people around based on just increasing salaries, they're going to leave eventually anyway, right? There's so much more to it. Like you said earlier, people don't leave companies, they leave management, right? Which is what it is. These companies have invested so little in management development and leadership development and in taking care of their employees, not just salary wise, but in the holistic mentality of taking care of their employees for so long. And now it's catching up with them. And now they're freaking out because they don't know what to do. I mean, pensions used to be a thing. They're not a thing anymore, right? They used to be a situation where you could actually, you know, have like, you know, your company, you work for a company for 50 years or 30 years or whatever. That's not a thing anymore. And that's on both sides. People keep blaming the employees or Gen Z or Gen X or whatever. But it's not just that. It's just the idea of your lack of respect for your employees and calling them even human resources is demoralizing and demeaning. So that they're just seeing that the results of that over long term. It's a longitudinal study on how not to do leadership is what it is.
And I think, and it's funny, it's how the, you know, you see these memes on, the employees are upset, give them a pizza party, that will solve it, right? And it's like, oh goodness, it's so much deeper than that.
That's how my fifth grade teacher solved problems. They threw a pizza party and now we're happy. But again, if you think about it from that perspective, that saying, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, they're solving problems for adults the way they solve problems for five-year-olds, right? Yes. That's not going to work.
Well, what about personal impacts? Does leadership development have an impact on people's personal lives?
100%. I mean, look at people, self-awareness is one of the biggest causes of whether they identify it or not, midlife crises, right? You take that situation earlier we talked about, when students are asked to make decisions about the rest of their lives, they get that job, they move on from there. They never took the time to say, is this really what I want to do? It just happened to luck out from job to job and now they get it. They meet someone, they get married, you know, they want to support a family, they have kids. Now they're so caught up in everything. There's no time or energy for self-development, right? Or self-awareness. And now they're 50, 60 years old and they're looking back and saying, well, where did my life go? You know, I'm feeling it, and your identity is going to tell you right? There's a concept of like absolute and contextual identity. And you're focusing so deeply on your contextual identity, which is what you use with other people and people around you and situations around you, that you've ignored your absolute identity, what's internal, what's inherent to you. And after a while, that will start gnawing at you from the inside. And that's what happens when you have a midlife crisis, is your inside is telling you, hey, what the heck? I'm here. You know, you haven't paid any attention to me for 50 years now. Can I actually get some attention now? And then you start trying to fill that gap with things that don't actually mean anything, but you think that they mean something because you don't even know how to identify what means something and what doesn't.
Oh, and how do you think the leadership will change in the future? You know, where are we headed?
I mean, the way it's going right now, we're headed for worse than the Great Resignation. I mean, you have greed and selfishness at the highest levels. I mean, politicians on every side. I don't care what denomination you are. It's whether Democrat, Republican, Independent, across the board, it's all selfishness, it's all greed. It's not driven by what's best for the country. It's what's best for myself and the party, right? And more so myself than the party at this point anyway, right? And so it's just, eventually there's going to be a reckoning, and what that looks like is going to be probably worse than things are right now, because everyone's out for themselves and they're not really caring about anyone else. We saw that during the pandemic with all the crazy nonsense that was happening, the riots and everything, the lack of empathy for just basic humans in general, right? I mean, of all skin colors, race, creeds, whatever. I mean, race is one example of that. It's a really easy example, but there's marginalization of all different kinds of demographics. And it's just getting worse and worse because of lack of self-awareness, lack of care, and lack of empathy because of insecurity.
And we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to continue the conversation about something you mentioned about how we are rapidly headed towards a society-wide midlife crisis. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that next segment. But before we go, Drew, tell folks how they can reach you.
Sure. So I'm available on all on social media. So it's going to be at @DRUBEE. So Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And then my Instagram is different because it's got to be different. And it's Dhruva B, DHRUVABEE. Also Drew at nyanleadership.com or www.nyanleadership.com.
Wonderful. I am Erica Gifford Mills, and you are listening to Get Rooted Radio, living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We are courageously expanding love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show. Every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit ElizabethAnnCunningham.com and subscribe.
Our ability to align with our true highest self and create freedom and prosperity is infinite. Take the journey back to me, a guided journey back to your true self in 40 days with me, Freedom Coach and Oracle Gina Gale Gray. Move from overwhelm to balance, composure, and vitality. Restore connection and compassion. Open your heart and tap into your limitless power within your soul. Begin your journey at anywheremindbodysoul.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
We're back on Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Don't forget to visit GetRootedRadio.com to listen to a replay of this episode, sign up for helpful tips, and learn about upcoming events. That's GetRootedRadio.com. Welcome back to my guest, Drew Biharilal. Thank you so much for being with us today, Drew.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Erica.
So we've been discussing leadership and its role in society. And during this segment, we're going to discuss how we are rapidly approaching a society-wide midlife crisis. And that might sound funny to you listeners, but if you think about it, midlife crisis is known to be when individuals are struggling with their own morality, and somewhere during midlife, they ditch some of the responsibilities in favor of fun. And if you think about it, what are we doing right now? In some cases, not in all cases, not trying to speak in generalizations, but I think that we are starting to look at what is best for me, not necessarily what is best for society, which is not always a bad thing, but how do we get back to our roots? And I think, Drew, you touched on it a little bit during the last segment on we're fighting our internal values and external values that we've been ignoring for so long to, you know, make a living, put food on the table, have a roof over our head, maybe have some of those materialistic things. And we've been fighting with that inner demon and dialogue back and forth that we've been having. So how is this similar to leadership in society? Why do you think that it is heading that way?
Well, in society in general, you can see that the trend of insecure leaders to develop, that they're developing an insecurity as a society as a whole. The fragility out there, and I don't mean the fragility in the term of like white fragility, but fragility in general, because there's multiple kinds of fragility out there, right? But there's so much fragility out there in the world. I mean, you look at anything from entertainment news all the way to just political posts and political thoughts and everything in between. And you have fragility across the board and just fear. And, you know, the stock market and other financial markets in general, like crypto markets, there's so much fear, uncertainty. They call it FUD. It's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But that's such an accurate term because that's really what it is across the board. It's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And there are people in leadership positions, you know, I use the term very loosely, leadership positions, really see people in power who thrive off that, keeping people in that FUD mode, right? And they will use that to their advantage to create this, like, I would say lack. It's like fear of what you don't have in the market. And that's one example just in the financial markets. But across the entire society as a whole, we don't have leadership. We don't have clear ideas of what's really best for society. And the same way that you have the issue in the micro level with your individuality saying like, okay, I'm going to ignore myself and focus on what I need to, like my work or keeping, you know, to continue that the rat race, so to speak, to the point where you now your internal values and self is yelling at you and saying, hey, wake up. And now I'm going to go spend $1 million on stuff I don't need. Right? Like I'm going to go buy a sports car when I'm 60 years old and I can't drive it on any roads because there's speed cameras everywhere. What's the point? Right? But you still do that just to try to scratch that itch that's inside. And same thing with society. You see that the kind of things on the verge of just collapsing in so many different ways. And all this fear, all this uncertainty, all this lack of self-awareness that's out there is coming to a head. And we don't have any leadership that's telling us like how to actually deal with this. We don't have leadership who's considering this. It's all about me, me, me. Like I said in the last segment, and that only goes so far, right? There needs to be a balance. It's not all about society and it's not all about the individual. There's got to be a balance. And at some point, that balance shifted to say it's all about individuals. And the folks who are at the top are using that against people because they're saying, okay, well, as long as they can do that, fighting amongst themselves, we can continue going to the bank, right? Yeah. And George, that's a line I stole from George Carlin because he's a genius and, you know, he's hilarious. But he's also very, very true. And his comedy was, you know, timeless at this point. You know, this is stuff he was saying back in the 90s and it's coming to a head and really showing up right now, bigger than it ever did back then.
So I think it's interesting. You made a comment and it reminded me of TikTok made me buy this. So what role do you think society, you know, or social media plays in all of this?
Unfortunately, a really big one, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, right? It's a massive role because, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen The Social Dilemma on Facebook, on Netflix. Sorry, it's a documentary. It's really, really well done, and it's accurate. And when that happened, then the algorithms changed in Facebook and Instagram to focus on, you know, it's not a timeline anymore. It's now a news feed, right? When you have that shift and people are now starting to get their news from that, that's a dangerous thing to happen because what's happening now is I'm going to show you more of what you like, not more of what's real, more of what you like. Which means that now you're going to be reinforcing all the ideas that are in your head. there's nothing to combat those wrong ideas, because there are things that are wrong, right? There are things that are factually incorrect. I don't mean wrong morally, I mean wrong incorrect, as in like this doesn't actually exist, right? But unfortunately, the more people who see these kind of things, like the flat earthers and these other people who are saying like, oh, this is a real possible, it's a real thing, you know, the earth is flat, despite all the evidence to the contrary, they're saying the earth is flat, for example, right? Because their entire social media circle, everything they see every single day is reinforcing that. And they now believe that they're the majority, or that they're correct. And because so many people believe this, that means it's got to be right. Instead of saying, exposing people to different ideas, that's the danger of not seeing other ideas, not being open to other ideas, and not being able to accept that there may be other ideas that are correct when your ideas are not correct. And that's, you know, there's a reason we expose people to different ideas when they're younger, and you know, and kids and learning things from textbooks. And they're talking about now stricking stuff from textbooks that are just, that is still history, but it may not agree with our sensibilities today. And I think that's correct. That's incorrect as well, because you want people to learn from the past. The whole idea of, you know, not learning from the past is they're gonna repeat the same mistakes. So we're doing this on a really societal scale. It's really dangerous.
Yeah, and I think that those are great points, because you sometimes you can't make somebody change their mind if they truly, that's all they see. And it made me think about how we've gone away from like your basic TV or cable TV or anything where you would get the 9 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news. So, because now everybody's just doing streaming, right? They're doing the Hulus, the Netflix, the Paramounts, the list goes on and on and on. So what about technology as a whole? How is that impacting leadership, you know, with society?
Yeah, I mean, Ronnie Chang, another comedian. I do comedian references and movie references all the time. But Ronnie Chang talks about this briefly. He mentions, you know, like whoever thought all of human knowledge could be more, right? Talking about the internet. And that's exactly what's happening. Because, you know, you have people who are going to those things. It's technology could play an amazing role. It could be out there where it's, you really get so many different points of view. But unfortunately, the same way people start going, I'm sure you have friends who go to 5 different friends to get the advice that they want. And as soon they'll keep asking everybody until they get the one person who says that they agree with them. And now that validates their opinion. So they'll go out and do that thing, no matter how dumb it is, right? Oh. The same thing is true online. Unfortunately, or fortunately, again, depending on how you look at it, there's infinite opinions online. And if you just Google something, and all it takes is one website. Oh, I saw this on a website. Well, which website was that? You know, the whole fact-checking thing, the whole showing your sources that we learned back in school. Well, now they have sources for anything that they want, any opinion that they want, because there's so many sources out there that are quote unquote validated. But validation is that meaning, that term has lost its meaning at this point. So it's the danger of technology is that it's the same thing as a strength, because it's so accessible and it's so open and it's so out there. Unfortunately, that people are mistaking fact-checking with censorship, and those two are not the same thing. And there needs to be fact-checking, and there should not be censorship, but they think that people think that fact-checking is censorship, and they're making that mistake, and they're saying that, and that's another opinion that's also incorrect.
Well, and I think that's great, because a great concept, because I no longer have regular TV, I just don't watch it enough. But then I realize, well, I watch the news, and now I don't have that. So what do you do? You know, well, I go online and I'll read, but I try to do a bunch of the different networks, because as we all know, certain networks lean certain ways. And so I try to go, okay, I'm going to read this, or I'm going to try to read the same story on maybe an opposite facing, just because otherwise I don't know what is right, right? I don't know what is true. But that's also my own self-awareness to realize I want to get both sides of the story, right? And we all know there's 3 sides of the story, right? It's his, hers, and the truth.
Exactly.
Because it's about perception. And, you know, how you're raised, you know, where you grow up, how you grow up, how fast you had to grow up, all those things contribute. And I think it's true what they say, it takes a village, you know, to raise a child. It's not just the in-home influences. It's also the external. It's the same thing on leadership, is that it does take a village, because sometimes you are in a position where you want something to be different. And then maybe you get to that point where I have the impact to make it different, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. So then you try to go outside to get resources, knowledge, but then where do you go? And I think that's it's that whole ripple effect, right? You know, one thing affects another. And I think that then we get upset. We get into that midlife crisis, as you say, that what do I do? Like, or you throw your hands up and you give up. So I think that it's social media plays so much effect, no matter if you are on it or not.
Yeah.
Because there are times where, did you see this thing on Facebook? Did you see this thing on Instagram? And I'm like, no, wait. And so what do? I go look it up, right? Just so that I can see what is going on. What are the people talking about? And then it's like, well, why is this? What is this? You know, so it's very interesting. And, you know, being aware of where you get your information how you allow that to lead you.
Yeah. And to your point, the people who have the platform are not willing to take a stand either, right? Because they're afraid of losing followers. They're afraid of losing power. When in reality, them taking a stand is exactly what's needed in society. And again, it's about myself. It's about me. It's all about me, me, me. It's, I don't want to lose followers, even if I'm stating the truth. I'm going to keep balancing this line between the BS and the truth, even though I know the truth's over here.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll end today's show with talking about the fundamental of being a leader. This is Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
One day, I arrived early to meet a friend for lunch. One of the wait staff welcomed me with a beautiful smile. It was everyday magic. We experience this kind of thing all the time, but it was magical because the smile made me feel happy and content. The Sanskrit word for smile is smitam. It means fully blossomed, fully bloomed, and expanded, like an empty field suddenly full of spring flowers. In the same way, a bright smile given freely changes everything. It can warm the heart. It can reassure or inspire or uplift. It can bring joy or lift a burden. Try it for yourself. Smitam, a smile, and discover a little everyday magic. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover everyday uplifting magic together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune into Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, -ITY.com.
Inspire, create, empower, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills, living it up, loving it up, letting it go. If you missed any of the information during the last segments, go to GetRootedRadio.com. That's GetRootedRadio.com to listen to the replay. Don't forget to subscribe, sign up for tips and special events and pricing for upcoming coaching sessions at GetRootedRadio.com. Welcome back to my guest, Drew Biharilal. Before we wrap up today's episode, tell listeners how they can reach you.
Sure. It's Drew at NyanLeadership.com. So D-H-R-U at NyanLeadership.com. I'm also at www.NyanLeadership.com. You can find me on social media, except for Instagram, at D-H-R-U-B-E-E. And Instagram is at D-H-R-U-V-A-B-E.
Wonderful. So we've talked about how not to be a leader, what societal factors hinder leadership. But let's wrap up today's discussion maybe on a more positive note on the impact leadership has on society with the fundamentals of being a leader. So what are the key things that a good leader needs to have?
Absolutely. So there are four real key things. I mean, there's more depending on situations that you need to be in, organizations, whatnot. But there are four key things that cut across all leadership levels. One is going to be empathy and compassion, right? That's whether for your team, but also for people in general, right? If you're working in an organization, you got to have empathy and compassion for your teammates, as well as people that they work with and your clients. That's going to allow you to really devote the proper energy and time to your clients and to your people, and everyone ends up being happier that way. The other one is going to be a desire for self-awareness. Now, notice I didn't say self-awareness itself, because that comes with time and energy and practice, but a desire for it, meaning you're willing to take the feedback and understand where your blind spots might be and how do you actually build up on things that you're lacking right now. And then how do you go where you want to get to? So just a desire to be self-aware and a desire to get that kind of self-awareness. The other one is going to be a growth mindset. So it's the idea of growing yourself, and not that where you are right now is not where you're going to be for the rest of your life. People love to say that, you know, I'm this or I am this, and that just, I can't do it. I'm a morning person. I'm not a morning person. I do it myself. I say I'm not a morning person. Not because I'm not a morning person, but because I don't want to be a morning person, right? I could absolutely grow that part of myself if I chose to. I'm choosing not to, right? But people need to understand that whenever they say that I am something, and that implies you're not the other things, you're choosing that thing every time you say that, and whether you mean to or not. And the last thing is going to be willingness to really be vulnerable and be imperfect, because not everyone, I mean, everyone's imperfect. We're all human at the end of the day, right? And if you're not able to acknowledge when you make a mistake or take the brunt of the situation when your team makes a mistake, as a leader of that team, you're responsible for the mistakes. But you also want to share credit and be able to say, hey, these guys really did make this happen, or you know, that person really made this happen. And so you want to share credit and take responsibility for mistakes that you make.
And I think that's really important. And being vulnerable can be very scary.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, I acknowledge I'm definitely imperfect, but for me, showing that imperfectness can be hard. And I think that's where people maybe sometimes will acknowledge they're not perfect, and they can accept that they're not perfect. Being vulnerable to that is always hard. And so makes me wonder, why did you select those? You know, why are those aspects and characteristics so important to a leader?
Sure. I mean, I'll start with being vulnerable and perfect. I mean, Brené Brown has a lot of work on vulnerability, and I love her work because of that, because it really does impact that and drives that point home. But when you're vulnerable with your people, they can now be vulnerable with you, right? And a lot of times when you have a leader who's not willing to be vulnerable or not willing to show their people that they care in that way, that they're open to them, you know, by being vulnerable with them, they won't feel comfortable being like, you know, I made a mistake or something like that, because then they'll feel like they're going to get chastised or get, you know, treated poorly or embarrassed by that mistake. If their leader's showing them that, and I don't mean making mistakes on purpose just to show your people they make mistakes, obviously, right? If you don't make a mistake in a period of time, that's great. But talk about situations, let it make it okay, normalize, you know, talking about mistakes or talking about being imperfect, because that allows your team to grow. You know, if you don't acknowledge vulnerability, you're going to ignore it until it becomes a real issue. And then by that time, it's a big vulnerability at that point, right? Absolutely. So that really helps with leadership development as a whole.
Well, and just to add to that real quick, and I think when you are a true leader, you're going to hire people who know more than you are. And when you can accept that and say, you know, I don't know, you're the SME, the subject matter expert, you know, can you educate me on this? And I think when a leader does that to their staff, it empowers them and gives them that, and to admit that you don't know it all. And I think that, I mean, for me personally, I'll make that an I statement. I know when I've had leaders do that for me, I'm like, wow, that's awesome. One, I feel good because you're relying on me, but two, you're not acting like you know it. It's awesome. I mean, that's great.
Absolutely. And then, you know, to that point, I had a leader, one of the best managers I've ever had. One of the reasons I wanted to work with him is because he said to me, he sat down with me, he said, listen, we're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. He's like, I just want to hear about it from you, not from the client. That's the only thing. That's the only thing I ask of you, right? And that made a couple of things. I still didn't want to make a mistake, obviously. I wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm going to go make all the mistakes and just let you know about it afterwards. But it's just like, I didn't want to make a mistake. But now I know that if I do make a mistake, I'm just going to let him know what's going on. And he's going to know about it. We'll figure it out together and get things going. So that, again, normalizes that feeling of trust. It builds trust across the team in general. And like you said, it empowers them to really feel like they take ownership over whatever happens. The growth mindset, I kind of went into that already in terms of like what the value of that is. And the desire to be self-aware, again, that's the willingness to get feedback and really act on that feedback, right? Because a lot of people say, oh yeah, please give me feedback. And then when they get the feedback, they get really defensive, right? Oh no, that's not what that was. That was this, or that was this, or whatever. Like, I didn't really make that mistake. And that goes against vulnerability. Sorry, I can't talk either today. It goes against vulnerability, but it also goes against trust, because now that trust is broken and that person will probably not give you the feedback again because you don't own it. You're not taking ownership of your own mistakes or opportunities you have to grow and really change things for the better. And then lastly is empathy and compassion. And that's just sort of lacking across our entire society. I mean, we kind of belabored that point today, so I don't want to go into that again, but you know, empathy and compassion for others is really what differentiates, frankly, good companies from bad companies and good leaders from bad leaders, right? When you have someone who really cares about other people and is really, you know, willing to say, listen, you know, I know you're dealing with stuff right now. How can we be supportive to you? How can we really kind of pick up the slack where you need to? Because ultimately that person is part of the team. And if you support them now, they're going to be more willing to support the other team members later on when things are going on. People are afraid to do that, and they're afraid to extend that kind of support because they're afraid of special treatment. And that's not really where that comes from. If that becomes a pattern, that becomes a discussion needs to happen. But all of this is work. People don't want to do extra work, right? And it's like, it feels like, oh, I don't want to put in the extra time and energy to put in this extra work into being a leader. I just want to show up, clock in, clock out, and be done. And that's also, you know, part of the issue. It's lack of compassion, more about the me attitude, not the we attitude.
So if you had leave one or two or three takeaways for listeners today on either leadership in general, or what somebody could do to really invest in their own self-development, what would it be?
Sure. The first thing to your first point, leadership doesn't have to mean you're in a leadership position. I think that's a mistake people make. In terms of that framing. I mean, again, framing matters, right? How you frame something to yourself makes all the difference. You can be a leader in an organization and be an individual contributor. You can be a leader in an organization and have no actual official power, but people always will defer to you every time you walk into a room because of how you carry yourself, because of the respect you command. And that respect doesn't come by just, you know, an iron fist and be like, oh yeah, whatever, right? But I've been in situations where people I know and people I respect have more power than the manager or the director or the president of a company because of the way that they carry themselves versus the way that other people carry themselves. So that's the one thing. Don't rely on just titles. Titles honestly don't mean anything if you don't have anything to back them up. And the second thing is, you know, around the compassion and empathy thing, I think society, we sorely need that in the world, right? Like, and the more you have your own individual leadership and you're self-aware about yourself, working with coaches is a great way to increase that. I mean, like yourself, like myself, like other folks who do this kind of work, but really investing in yourself, just taking your time, just even journaling, something simple as that, that's free. You can do it yourself, but journaling and kind of reviewing how things affected you, observing yourself under a microscope and kind of saying, okay, how did I handle a situation? Did I handle it the way I wanted to handle it? Identifying models for yourself. Who do I want to be like? What kind of leader would I want to be if I was a leader? You know, who do I want to emulate? Who do I want to be when I grow up, so to speak, right? You know, identifying that for yourself and then really taking that to heart and saying, I really want to live into these values. That's going to make all the difference, whether you're a leader or not. Just in life in general, we don't take time to identify our values, who we are. And that's a different kind of leadership than people tend to talk about, right? There's leadership in organizations and there's leadership in our own lives and in society.
And I want to thank you, Drew. Those are wonderful kind of leave offs for everybody. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
No, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Erica. This is great what you're doing, and I'm happy to be part of it.
Wonderful. And I want to thank you all for tuning in to Get Rooted Radio. If you missed any part of today's episode or want to listen to it again, go to getrootedradio.com for the podcast. And don't forget to tune in the first and third Monday of every month at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific right here on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Have an amazing day. And I'm looking forward to the next time on Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, letting it go. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills. Living it up, loving it up, and letting it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com if you have missed any part of this hit show. And tune in on TransformationTalkRadio.com to live fearlessly in your more and powerfully rooted in your unlimited yes. For more information and to work with Erica directly, visit GetRootedRadio.com. That's GetRootedRadio.com, and get ready to live it up, love it up, and let it go.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.